with you regarding Jacob and his Jacob and Isaac and Esau and how old they are. So we know we get our ages and our dates primarily from Joseph. So we know how old Joseph was in Egypt and how old Jacob was. So when Jacob comes down and he talks to Pharaoh, he says, I'm 130 years old. And Jacob or Joseph says he's 39 years old. So from that, we can work our way backwards. We know how old Jacob was when Joseph was 17. He was 108. We know, can work our way back. So when Joseph was born, Jacob would have been 91. And Joseph was born right before the 6 years that Jacob worked for Laban's flock. So Jacob in Genesis 27 is not a young man. He's 77 years old. So we get this impression that Jacob is some young man who, you know, deceived his father and now he's got to hightail it out of there. He's a 77-year-old man. And Isaac is 137 years old. And so let's I'm going to take that off the screen because it's distracting me. And let's go to Genesis 27. And it says, it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see. So Isaac at this point is 137 years old. Jacob and Esau are 77 years old. So the time difference between the end of chapter 26 and this chapter is 37 years. So chapter 26, Jacob and Esau were 40 years old. Isaac would have been 100 years old. Now we know, working back from the timeline with Jacob and Joseph, Jacob's and Esau are 77 years old. Isaac's 137. Isaac's blind. And so he decides, okay, it's time to give the blessing of the firstborn. So he calls his son Esau and says to him, my son, I'm old. I don't know the day of my death. The fact of the matter is he's going to live another 43 years. So even though he's old, everybody in this chapter seems to think Isaac's on his deathbed. He's got another 43 years left to him. And in fact, he's going to outlive Rebekah. Rebekah is actually going to die before Isaac. So I don't know why Isaac thinks he's, you know, he's on his deathbed. Maybe he's got a horrible head cold and he's just wishing to die. He's got the sniffles and I don't know the day of my death. He's actually the longest living patriarch. He outlived the years of Abraham. He outlived the years of Jacob. He outlives the years of everyone else. He's going to live to be 180 years old. So he's got 43 years left. So, you know, this whole thing, you know, the day of his death, I think he's got the sniffles. He just wishes he was dead and he's kind of blowing it out of proportion. And so he says to Esau, take your gear, your quiver, your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love. Now, remember back in chapter 25, when Jacob and Esau had grown up, it says that Esau became a skillful hunter. He was a man of the field. And Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game. Isaac just loved wild game, and Esau was his provider. So go hunting, prepare a savory dish such as I love, bring it to me so that I can eat it, and my soul will bless you before I die. And that statement, that my soul may bless you before I die, is what this chapter is all about. This chapter is about the blessing of the firstborn. Now, here's where the problem comes. Even though Esau was born first, he was no longer the firstborn. Back in chapter 25, the last verse of the chapter, Esau despised his birthright. And so he despised his birthright. He sold his birthright to Jacob. And with the birthright went the blessing of the firstborn. So the blessing of the firstborn didn't belong to Esau anymore. It actually belonged to Jacob. And that means that Jacob didn't have to do the things he did in this chapter. He didn't have to deceive his father. He could have simply gone to Isaac and said, look, Esau sold me his birthright, which means he also sold me the blessing of the firstborn. So the blessing that you're going to give Esau actually belongs to me. So he didn't need to do this whole deception thing. And so Isaac says that my soul may bless you before I die. You know, he's got this notion that his death is imminent, and it's not. He's got decades left to him. So for whatever reason, he thinks he's on his deathbed. And even Rebecca later on seems to get that notion. He's on his deathbed. He's going to die anytime now. Esau thinks that. I'm going to wait until my father dies, and then I'm going to kill my brother. Well, you're going to be waiting for decades for that to happen. So Rebecca, just like her mother-in-law, who she never met, is eavesdropping. You know, she's got her ear to the tent flap, and she hears Isaac talking to Esau about blessing him, and she doesn't, for whatever reason, I don't get the impression she really liked Esau. Back in chapter 25, she loved Jacob, Isaac loved Esau, and I think probably part of the animosity between Esau and Rebecca had to do with Esau's Hittite wives. And she indicates that at the end of the chapter as well. So she says to Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother. Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for you that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now listen to me, my son. Now remember, Jacob's 77 years old. And she's treating him like he's a teenager or 20-something. Listen to me. Go to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, and I'm going to prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. So she knew how to take goats and make them taste like wild game. Usually it's the other way around. You want your wild game to taste like some domestic thing, but she can take domesticated goats and make them taste like wild game. And then you're going to bring it to your father, and he's going to eat, and he's going to bless you before his death. So Jacob, he doesn't say anything yet. Rebecca's laid out this whole scheme, and she's actually got it planned down to the last detail. So finally, Jacob says something, and instead of saying, wait, the blessing's already mine. We don't need to deceive Dad. The blessing's already mine. All I need to do is go and tell him this. Instead of doing that, he's already working through in his mind, okay, there's some details we need to hash out here. What if Dad touches me? I mean, after all, my brother Esau is hairy and I'm a smooth man. What if he touches me? What's going to happen then? I'm going to be a deceiver in his sight. And the fact of the matter is, Isaac does touch him. So Rebecca's got this all worked out. And Jacob's right. Isaac did call him a deceiver later on. He says to Esau, your brother came deceitfully. So he's right in all of this. And if he does touch me and figures out I'm not hairy like Esau, I'm a smooth guy like me, I'm going to bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. And so Rebecca just blurts out, I don't think she gave this a second thought, your curse be upon me. Just obey my voice and go and get them. Okay, so he goes and gets them and brings them to Rebecca, and she makes a savory dish for Isaac. And verse 15 to me is just weird. Rebecca took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were in her house. Okay. He's 77 years old. He's been married for 37 years. Why were his clothes still in her house? I mean, any of you parents, have you kept your kids' clothes for the past 37 years? Probably not. So yes. that what was that? That to me is just weird. She's got his clothes in her house after he's been married for 37 years. Okay. And so she puts his clothes on Jacob. And the reason she does this is because she's thought this thing through. Isaac is going to bring Jacob close and he's going to smell the clothes. And that's exactly what happens. The clothes of Jacob smell very different from the clothes of Esau. Jacob's clothes smell like the campfire. He was a guy that stuck around camp, you know, tended the fire, you know, made food for the encampment and whatnot. Isaac or Esau's clothes, they smelled very differently. They were the smell of the open field. So she's thought this thing through. You've got to smell like Esau. Okay. And you've got to feel like Esau. So she gives verse 16, and this is just gross. She's skinned these young goats. And so she takes these fresh, slimy, bloody skins and sticks it on the smooth part of Jacob's neck and on the back of his hands. I can see putting him on his hands, but this bloody, slimy goat skin with hair on it tied to the back of his neck just gives me the willies. So now he smells like Esau. He's going to feel like Esau. One problem. He doesn't sound like Esau. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So she gives the savory food to Jacob and he takes it in and he says, my father, and he's a bit confused. Here I am. Who are you, my son? I think Isaac realized something's something's not quite right here. He's got this gut feeling. Who are you? He recognized the voice. It's Jacob. I mean, verse 22 will tell us that. It's Jacob's voice, but why is Jacob coming to my tent unsummoned? And I'm expecting Esau. Now, keep in mind, up to this point, Jacob could have backed out of everything. He hadn't actually lied or deceived Isaac yet. When Isaac said, "Who are you?" he could have simply said, "I'm Jacob. And I'm here to talk to you about the blessing of the firstborn. It doesn't belong to Esau. It belongs to me because Esau despised his birthright, sold me his birthright, which meant he sold me the blessing. So it's really mine, and you should be blessing me and not him." He doesn't do that. He just, okay, I'm here. I'm going to lie. So he just barrels right on in with this deception. "I'm Esau, your firstborn." That's his first actual lie. I'm your firstborn son. His second lie, "I've done as you told me." Well, Isaac hadn't told him Jacob to do anything. His third lie, "Eat my game." Well, first of all, it's not game. It's two young goats, and it's not his. His mother prepared it. And all of this so that you can bless me. He could have just been honest. But nope, we're going to go through with this because that's what mom wants. So Isaac, he still has this feeling something's not right here. "How is it that you have it so quickly? I mean, I just sent you out a short time ago. And now all of a sudden, you've not only hunted the game, you've prepared it? Wow, I've never seen that happen. Oh, it's because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Another lie. So Isaac says, come close that I can feel you, whether you're really my son Esau or not. There's that nagging feeling, something's not right here. So come closer. I wanna touch you. And so Rebecca's already prepared for that. Slimy skins on his neck and on his hand, nice and hairy. And so he comes close and Jacob touches his hands. Voice, the voice of Jacob. Hands are the hands of Esau. Something's not right. I'm a bit confused. Why didn't Jacob disguise his voice? I mean, obviously there's a difference between the voice of Jacob and the voice of Esau. You would think that Jacob would somehow lower his voice and make him sound more outdoorsy. Nope. Still sounds like Jacob, and Isaac scratching his head. Something's not right. I hear the voice, but I feel the hands. Something's not right. So he doesn't recognize him, verse 23. He doesn't recognize the person in front of him. And he's really not sure what to believe. Do I believe my ears or do I believe my hands? Either Jacob suddenly got really hairy or Esau's voice changed its tone and its pitch. Something's not right. Well, Isaac believes his hands rather than his ears. And so he decides to bless him. And the actual blessing is going to take place in verses 28 and 29. So he's still bothered in his mind. Okay, I hear the voice. I feel the hands. They don't go together. Are you really my son Esau? Yeah, I am. Well, I think in Jacob's mind, he couldn't say, no, I'm not. I'm just kidding. It's too late to back out now. He's gone way too far in his deception. He's got to see this through. I think he could have backed out, admitted what he had done, apologized, be done with it, but nope, he's got to see this thing through. So Isaac says, okay, bring it to me. I'll eat my son's game that I may bless you. And notice how many times in this chapter he talks about the blessing. Everything in this chapter is about the blessing. Even though it belonged to Jacob and not Esau, Jacob didn't need to deceive him. So he brought it, he brought the savory dish, he eats it, he drinks wine, and again, he's still bothered by this. Voice is not right, the hairiness isn't right, the two don't go together. Come close and kiss me, my son. And the reason he wanted to kiss his son was not to kiss his son. He wanted to smell the smell of his garments. He wanted to see if they really smelled like Esau and the field, or if they smell like Jacob and the campfire. So Jacob didn't realize that, but Rebekah did. And Rebekah had already prepared for that. So he came close, he kissed him, he smelled the smell of his garments, and he blessed him. Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. So the smell is the smell of Esau, the hands are the hands of Esau, the voice is the voice of Jacob. Can't really figure out how that one fits. So he ignored his ears and he went with what his hands felt and what his nose smelled. My nose isn't going to lie to me. My hands aren't going to lie to me. Maybe my ears are lying to me. I mean, my eyes have given out. I can't see. Maybe my ears are giving out as well. So he blesses him. And the blessing is verses 28 and 29. One of the things that I think you have to understand about this blessing is it didn't just go to the person of the firstborn. It went to all of the descendants of the firstborn as well. So the blessing actually anticipates the nation that's going to come from Jacob. And the blessing is, it's in two parts. The first part of the blessing has to do with the land that's going to go to the firstborn. So he says, may God give you of the dew of heaven. So Isaac is calling upon God to give his firstborn the dew of heaven, to provide whatever waters are necessary to sustain him, to sustain his livestock, to sustain his crops. Don't let there be famine or drought. Give him the dew of heaven and give him the fatness of the earth. I want an abundance of all that the earth produces to go to my firstborn. And an abundance of new grain and new wine. So not just everything that the earth produces, but bountiful harvests, bountiful vintages. And when you look at the blessings, for example, in the Old Testament, these are blessings that are repeated. For example, the dew of heaven, Moses mentions a couple times in Deuteronomy 33. He talks about blessing Joseph with the choice things of heaven, with the dew. He talks about Israel, dwelling in security in a land of grain and new wine, his heavens drop down dew. He talks about later on the fatness of the earth in Numbers. He talks about the grain and the new wine multiple times in Deuteronomy. So these are blessings that didn't just go to Jacob. They went to the entire nation. And Moses would eventually bless Israel with these things. And then the second part of the blessing had to do with the person. First part had to do with the land. Second part has to do with the person. And he says, may peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. So Isaac declares that peoples and nations are going to serve and bow down to his firstborn, which ultimately will come true. That would be a millennial thing. And be master of your brothers. The word brothers there, it's translated later on in verse 37 as relatives. And I think relatives is probably a better translation because there was only one brother. Isaac and Rebekah didn't have any more kids. They just had Jacob and Esau. So relatives would be a better translation there. And relatives is a very broad thing. All of Ishmael and all of his descendants, the sons of Keturah and their descendants, the descendants of Esau. You could even go back farther to the descendants of Lot, Moab and Ammon. So it gets much broader than just brothers because there's only one brother. And same thing with your mother's sons. I would expand that to other relations and relatives in that regard. But the fact of the matter is, Esau does later on bow down to Jacob, not for centuries, but Jacob, when he returns from Padan Aram, bows down to Esau. But during the reign of the kings, the Edomites are made subservient to Israel. So that's another story. And then he says, cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. And here he's actually reiterating the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse. And Moses even says this in Numbers 24:9. Blessed is everyone who blesses you. Cursed is everyone who curses you. So that particular part of the blessing is repeated multiple times in the Old Testament. So as soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob, Jacob barely gets out of the tent and Esau comes into the camp. So Esau comes into the camp. Jacob just kind of scurries away, avoiding Esau. Doesn't want any confrontation yet. And so Esau makes his savory food, brings it to Isaac, and comes into the tent. Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. And Isaac is thinking, who are you? And Esau now is a bit confused. I'm Esau. I'm your firstborn. No, my firstborn just left the tent. No, I'm your firstborn. And at that moment, Isaac realized I've been deceived. And he begins to tremble violently. He's actually convulsing in horror at what's just happened. He comes to this realization that he's been duped. He's been deceived. That gut feeling he had all along was right. So he says, who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me? and I ate of all of it before you came. He hasn't come to the conclusion yet that it was Jacob. He will in a few verses. But at this point, he's still wondering, who just brought me game? And I ate it. And I blessed him. And he shall be blessed. So Esau hears this, and he cries out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. I think this is a cry of anguish, distress. There's anger, there's rage. This cry, everybody in the camp heard it, including Jacob. He hears his brother screaming out in distress and rage at what's just happened. And so he cries out to Isaac, bless me, me also, my father, please. At that point, Isaac realizes it was Jacob. I knew there was something with the voice. He remembers the voice. I went with my hands because he felt hairy. I went with my nose because he smelled like you, but it was the voice. I knew the voice was Jacob. Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Well, fact of the matter is, it wasn't Esau's blessing anymore. He forfeited the blessing the moment he sold his birthright. Unfortunately, Isaac didn't know that. And Esau is certainly not going to tell him. Jacob didn't even tell him. And so Esau says, is he not rightly named Jacob? He has supplanted me these two times. And remember when we were back in 25 and we talked about the name of Jacob. The name Jacob, the word heel, H-E-E-L, and the word supplant are actually spelled with the same three Hebrew consonants. And they're just pronounced differently. They're written the same way if you remove the vowel points, which they wouldn't have had back then. They're spelled with the same consonants. So Jacob, the heel grabber, has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, which is a lie. Jacob didn't take away his birthright. Esau sold it. So it wasn't Jacob who took it away. Esau despised it and he sold it. And he's taken away my blessing. Again, not true. Jacob didn't take away your blessing. He took his blessing because you forfeited it. So Esau's, haven't you reserved a blessing for me? I mean, what, you've only got one blessing? So Isaac says to Esau, look, I've made him your master. And all of his relatives, I've given to him as servants. And I've sustained him with grain and new wine. As for you, what can I do? I don't have anything for you. And so Esau is kind of incredulous that his father only has one blessing. And what? You only have one blessing? Bless me. Me also, my father. And he lifted up his voice and wept. And this is where what the writer of Hebrews says comes in. He's talking about Esau. And if you look over at Hebrews chapter 12, he says in verse 16 and 17, there must be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. That fact that he sold his birthright, the writer of Hebrews says, was immoral and godless. And then he says, you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for repentance. Even though he sought for it, the blessing, not repentance, he sought for the blessing with tears. And this is what's going on here in verse 38. Bless me. And he lifts up his voice and weeps. He sought for the blessing with tears, but he was an immoral, godless, unrepentant man. And so instead of giving him a blessing, Isaac kind of gives him a curse. Away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven above. He gave Jacob just the opposite. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the abundance of grain and new wine. Esau, away from the fertility of the earth and away from the dew of heaven. And by your sword you shall live. Esau is not going to be a peaceful man. He's going to be a man of violence, conflict, war. And when you look at the Edomites, who are the descendants of Esau, and their history with Israel, that's exactly the way it was. In Numbers, when Israel wanted to pass through the territory of Edom, the Edomites came out against him with the sword. In Amos, he talks about, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I'll not revoke its punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword. And in Obadiah is written about Edom because of violence to your brother Jacob. Ezekiel talks about it in Ezekiel 25 and 35. Psalm 137 talks about it, where the sons of Edom say to Jerusalem, raise it to its foundation. So that's kind of what is going on here. Isaac is telling Esau, this is the way it's going to be between you and your brother. At least your descendants, and your brother you're going to serve. And that was part of the blessing that God gave, or Isaac gave to Jacob. But it's also a reiteration of what God told Rebecca before Jacob and Esau were born, back in chapter 25. The older will serve the younger. And when you look at the history of Israel, for example, under David in 1 Chronicles 18, David put garrisons of soldiers in Edom, and the Edomites became his servants. And it's going to come about when you're restless, you'll break his yoke from your neck, which later on in the period of the kings, that's what they do. Edom revolts against Judah. Under Ahaz, the Edomites actually attacked Judah and carried away captives. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And this was a serious grudge. His grudge was a murderous grudge. The days of mourning for my father are near. He's going to be in for a big surprise. They're not for another 43 years. And then when dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother. So he's planning, conniving, okay, as soon as dad dies, Jacob is a goner. Well, yeah, not going to happen anytime soon. Thankfully, 20 years later, in Genesis 33, Esau had gotten over his grudge. he had gotten over his murderous desire for vengeance, and he actually runs up to Jacob, embraces him and kisses him and weeps upon seeing his brother. So he gets over it. So the words of Esau are reported to Rebekah. You know, small camp, lots of gossip. Eventually the words get back to Rebekah. And fact of the matter is they got back to Jacob. So Jacob sent and called her younger son. I like the way they say that. Her younger son. They're twins. He's younger by maybe a few seconds or a few minutes. But he's still the younger son, even though they're both 77 years old. Your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. He's just waiting for dad to die, and then you're a dead man. Now listen to me, son. Obey my voice. Flee to Haran. Go to my brother Laban. I want you to go to Uncle Laban and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides. Okay, so they're in Beersheba. We know that from chapter 26. And the distance between Beersheba and Haran is about 520 miles. So if he were to travel 20 miles a day, which is really pushing it, it would take him 26 days to get there. And then he's going to stay with Laban a few days, and Rebekah's going to send a servant and bring Jacob home. So Rebekah is hoping that with Jacob gone, Esau's fury, his anger will subside. He will forget what happened to him. And after that, I'm going to send for you and I'll get you. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. That few days turned into 20 years. And during that 20 years, at some point, Rebekah dies. And Isaac buries her in the cave of Machpelah. So she says, why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? So the question is, who does both refer to? It could be she's thinking of Isaac and Jacob. Isaac's going to die sometime soon, which wasn't going to happen. And then as soon as he's dead, Esau's going to murder you. And I don't want to be bereaved of my husband and my son. Or it could be Jacob and Esau she's talking about. I don't want to be bereaved of my two sons, Esau murdering you, and then either being banished from the encampment or executed for murder, and I'm going to lose both of my kids. Well, the fact of the matter is, she actually did lose both of her kids that day. She's alienated from Esau because of her complicity with Jacob's deception. Esau probably figured it out. And then she's also alienated from Jacob, whom she's never going to see again after he leaves for Haran. So she pays for it. So she has to come up with some legitimate reason to send Jacob to Haran. I mean, he's 77 years old. I got to come up with some reason to tell my husband to send Jacob to his uncle. And the reason she comes up with was brilliant, because it's the very reason that Isaac has her as a wife. And it had to do with the daughters of Heth. I'm tired of living because of the daughters of Heth, the Canaanites. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these, referring to Esau's wives, with all of their idolatry and pagan practices that ran contrary to the worship of the one true God of Abraham and Isaac, if Jacob takes a wife like these, what good's my life? So she convinces Isaac in chapter 28, which we'll look at next week, to send Jacob to his relatives, just like Isaac's father Abraham sent his servants to his relatives to get a wife from among them. So she actually plays off of Isaac's past. Your father did it for you. You should do it for your son. And next week, we'll get into chapter 28 and look at that. Any questions?
Yeah, Jeff, it's Neil. I have a question. So there's an incident in the Bible where the Gibeonites trick Israel.
Yep.
And, you know, they don't just, I guess, say, well, you tricked us, so we're not going to honor the covenant. They honor it, but they don't wipe them out. They make them slaves.
They enslave them, yep.
So I guess my question to you is, the covenant or the blessing in this case is, there's some sort of finality to it that can't be revoked. And once it's done, it's done, regardless of the fact that, you know, Jacob said he's Esau. And he wasn't. So, you know, to me, all of, like, a factor like that makes me think, well, it's kind of like null and void if you do it with deceit. Or so, do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
can you explain, like, the maybe the finality of this blessing, in a sense that,
I would say it goes, you know, just like with the Gibeonites, once Joshua and the elders of Israel swore the oath, that was done. You regardless of the deception of the other party, you swore an oath. And I think the same is true here. This blessing was like an oath. And you don't get to go back on it, regardless of the deception. You make a promise, you carry it through. It's like a vow.
Mm-hmm.
You make a vow, you carry it through. And it doesn't matter if you were deceived, you made the promise.
And even some of the incidents with, like, Daniel, where, you know, the law of the
Medes and the Persians.
Yeah, that can't be altered. And so, yeah, so that was one. And the other question is, why wouldn't this last verse, maybe, why wouldn't Isaac bring up the whole incident here? Like, hey, wait a minute, you're just kind of deflecting the whole incident that happened to get him out of here or something.
And that's a great question, especially when you look at the beginning of chapter 28. I think Isaac at some point came to the realization that even though I was deceived, the blessing really did belong to Jacob. Okay. He would be the one to be the recipient of the Abrahamic covenant. And when you get at the beginning of chapter 28, I think it says he blessed him like five times. And he blesses him, 28:4, with the blessing of Abraham. So he's actually comes to this realization, even though I was deceived, I made the right call. know, I don't right. appreciate being lied to, but it was the right call. And he repeats this blessing five times at the beginning of chapter 28 before he sends Jacob off. So at some point he came to the realization, yes, I was lied to. I really ought to punch him in the nose, but it was the right call.
One other comment. So what changed with Esau that you brought it up before? He despised his birthright and, you know, sold it for the lentils. But, you know, so what changed, do you think, between that point and when he was literally crying because he didn't get the blessing?
I think when he sold the birthright, I don't think he probably fully understood that Jacob was being serious. I think, yeah, birthright, whatever, just give me something to eat. And Jacob was dead serious. I don't think Esau fully grasped that until later on.
Okay.
I think Esau was being flippant.
Sure.
What's the time period between the lentils and the goats?
The lentils and the goats.
Yeah.
What goats?
The goats that Isaac wore, that Jacob wore.
Oh, well, in 25, it's right after the incident in 25 starts with their birth. And then at some point after, well, at 15 years after their birth, Abraham dies. My guess would be, we're not given an exact time frame, but I would say, you know, somewhere 20s. I honestly can't give you a date.
Okay. All right.
So Jeff, this is Jeff. I have the MacArthur Study Bible, and he suggests that maybe when Isaac was shaken violently, that maybe part of the reason was he remembered what the Lord said about the older shall serve the younger. Okay. And he realized at that point that he had been wrong in even thinking of giving Esau the blessing, or that maybe this was the way it was supposed to be anyway.
Okay.
And then later on, he becomes more familiar with that. And maybe even he at some point pulled Isaac aside, or Esau aside, and said, hey, you sold your birthright. This is what the Lord said, that you would be serving your younger brother. So get over it.
Yeah, could be.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeff. Look forward to another installment next Wednesday.